Dear Saints, it is my pleasure to welcome you to the true Easter experience. If ever we needed meaning as to why we are here at this time in Earth history during COVID-19 is now. 2,000 years ago, Christ came and died on an old rugged cross for each and every single one of us to purchase our salvation. We are reminded in the Gospels that Jesus Christ died on Friday, rested on Sabbath, and rose again early Sunday morning. An author called Ellen G. White states, "Christ's death proves God's great love for man. It is our pledge of salvation. To remove the cross from the Christian would be like blotting the sun from the sky. The cross brings us near to God, reconciling us to Him. With the relenting compassion of a father's love, Jehovah looks upon the suffering that his son endured in order to save the race from eternal death and accepts us in the beloved. Without the cross, man could have no union with the Father. On it depends our every hope. From it shines the light of the Saviour's love. And when at the foot of the cross, the sinner looks up to the one who died to save him, he may rejoice with fullness of joy, for his sins are pardoned. Kneeling in faith at the cross, he has reached the highest place to which man can attain. Through the cross, we learn that the Heavenly Father loves us with a love that is infinite. Can we wonder that Paul exclaimed, 'God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ,' Galatians 6 verse 14. It is our privilege also to glory in the cross, our privilege to give ourselves wholly to Him who gave Himself for us. Then with the light that streams from Calvary shining in our faces, we may go forth to reveal this light to those in darkness." It is our desire that as we experience the cross over the 3 days, that we will renew our commitment with the Lord and have a deeper understanding of what it is that Christ did for us all them years ago, 2,000 years ago on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne room of grace, just thanking you for the gift of your Son, thanking you for the cross, and thanking you for the price that was paid for our redemption. Oh Lord, as we come, we pray that you'll forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and wash us in the blood. Father, we pray that you will baptize each and every single one of us with the power of your Holy Spirit. And that as we look at the cross, as we see the central theme of the cross, as we recognize it's because of the cross, because of your Son, and because of his death, we can rejoice because we know that our Redeemer liveth. And so, Lord, we ask that you will bless this program. Bless every word that is spoken. Bless every song that is sung. Bless every scripture that is read. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So as not to interrupt the flow of the program, I'll give an outline as to what is expected. So we will have song service. We'll have a scripture reading, a special item. Then we'll have the sermon, closing hymn, closing prayer. God bless as we sit back and reflect on the cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found. and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. The cross, in the cross, be rest beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today, leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary.
Matthew 27, verse 11 to 23. Jesus brought before Pilate. As Jesus stood in front of the Roman governor, Pilate asked him, "So you are really the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You have just spoken it." Then he was slandered and accused by the chief priests and religious leaders, but he remained silent. Pilate said, "Don't you hear these allegations?" But Jesus offered no defense to any of the charges, much to the great astonishment of Pilate. Now every year, at Passover, it was the custom of the governor to pardon a prisoner and release him to the people, anyone they wanted. And at that time, Pilate was holding in custody a notorious criminal named Jesus Barabbas. So as the crowds of people assembled outside of Pilate's residence, he went out and offered them a choice. He asked them, "Who would you want me to release to you today? Jesus who is called Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Anointed One?" Now Pilate was fully aware that the religious leaders had handed Jesus over to him because of their bitter jealousy. Just then, as Pilate was presiding over the tribunal, his wife sent him an urgent message. "Don't harm that holy man, for I suffered a horrible nightmare last night about him." Meanwhile, the chief priest and the religious leaders were inciting the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be freed and to have Jesus killed. So Pilate asked them again, "Which of the two men would you like me to release for you?" They shouted, "Barabbas!" Pilate asked them, "Then what would you have me do with Jesus who is called the Anointed One?" They all shouted back, "Crucify him!" "Why?" Pilate asked. "What has he done wrong?" But they kept shouting out, "Crucify him!"
When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying,
"I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it."
And all the people answered and said,
"His blood be on us and on our children."
Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet,
"They divided my garments amongst them, for my clothing they cast lots."
Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put over his head the accusation written against him,
"This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying,
"You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, well, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross."
Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said,
"He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God.
Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing.
Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour.
And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, My God, My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias.
And straightway one of them ran, and took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink.
The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him.
Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost.
And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent.
And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many.
And when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God.
Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow streets, but the crowd pushed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. Bleeding.
Who would have thought 4 months into 2020 would have found us where we are today? Many of us began the new year with hopes of a better year, especially because 2020 was arguably the beginning of a new decade. So there was a sense of optimism, a commitment to levelling up. Never could we have imagined that towards the end of March, the spread of an infectious virus would have led to thousands losing their lives, a partial lockdown enforced by the government, and a ripple effect of social and economic concerns across the world. The truth is, COVID-19 has changed the way we do life forever. We will never go back to normal, but instead create a new normal as we transition. Nevertheless, one thing that I'm personally still trying to get used to is social distancing. Social distancing was introduced by the government around the 22nd of March. Social distancing measures that are in place where we can take steps to reduce social interaction between people. And it includes avoiding contact with someone who is displaying symptoms of coronavirus, avoiding non-essential use of public transport when possible, working from home where possible, avoiding large and small gatherings, avoiding gatherings with family and friends. As a country, we're encouraged to follow these steps, stay at home, protect the NHS and save lives to help prevent the transmission of coronavirus and get through this pandemic together. In my conversations with church members, colleagues and friends, one question has been resounding. Where is God in all of this? This question is not too different to a question Jesus asked over 2,000 years ago. It was Friday afternoon around 3 p.m. Jesus, the Son of God, asked the question, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why would the Son of God make such a cry to his Father? These seven words land as an oxymoron. On one hand, this phrase reflects a deeply intimate relation, but on the other hand, they reflect deep abandonment, rejection, anxiety and pain, something that I believe at a time like this we can all identify with. From the beginning of time to his birth, Jesus enjoyed a close relationship with his Father, and although not much is written about his childhood, we learn that he was committed to his Father in heaven and made it his duty to be about his business. At his baptism, his Father endorsed his symbolic act of going down into the water and affirmed his Son publicly by announcing that he was very pleased with his Son. As Jesus began his public ministry, he was confident that his Father was with him. He was pretty social too, interacting with members of the public, members of temple life, his own group of trainees. He had a close network of friends. There's no doubt about it. Scripture shows us that Jesus was a social butterfly. However, this was about to change. The final hours of Jesus's life were marred by social distance, betrayal, denial and torture by those whom he previously socially connected with. This was an expected yet painful experience for him. During the climax of his excruciating pain, the Bible records this in Matthew 27:45-47. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me? Jesus came to know the reality of being abandoned. Jesus came to experience social distancing, but his distancing was different. The distancing that he experienced
was God distancing. God distancing was the deep sense of separation that he felt from his Father. As Jesus hung upon the cross, he felt something was different between him and his Father. He felt God forsaken. He was God forsaken. He was abandoned. And this abandonment caused him great pain. God distancing, an experience that mankind was all too familiar with, a phenomenon that was never part of God's plan in the beginning, a human experience that was initiated in the Garden of Eden following the disobedience of our first parents. The root cause of this God distancing was sin. God distancing has led many of us to sometimes feel alone, anxious, helpless, and hopeless. It's an unnatural human experience that has led many of us to ask, God, where are you? Jesus had never felt forsaken by his Father throughout his life. He'd only ever experienced a deep, interwoven intimacy with his Father. He would confidently announce that when you see me, you see the Father, and that the words that I speak are the words of my Father. He had an interdependent relationship upon his Father throughout his human experience. And this is what magnified the current pain of abandonment. Nevertheless, it was the intimacy he had with his Father that caused him to turn to his Father rather than to turn away. This intimacy caused him to cry out even louder to his Father rather than to hang his head in self-pity. It was this intimacy that he had experienced with his Father that caused him to boldly ask his Father a hard question twice. Why have you forsaken me? His cry echoes Psalms 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice. I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Jesus asked the question, why? There are many ways to ask a question, and how a question is asked can depend on the type of answer you're looking for. Let me explain. If Jesus had asked, "How have you forsaken me?" the answer would imply a practical or technical response to this question of how. If Jesus had asked, "When have you forsaken me?" the answer would imply a timescale of when the event had taken place. If Jesus had asked, "Where have you forsaken me?" the answer would suggest a location for the event in question. But Jesus asked, "Why? Why have you forsaken me?" This why implies the need for an explanation surrounding the event. Why this? Why here? Why me? Why now? Why was the question Jesus asked his Father as he hung upon the cross. This question, asked by Jesus, is asked by thousands of people around the world today. Why have you forsaken me? As many are practicing social distancing and experiencing depression, suicide, and abuse, the question is, why? As many are losing their jobs and businesses, the question is, why? As some are experiencing the symptoms of COVID-19, the question is, why? Why are we being asked to say goodbye to our family and friends at the doors of the hospital as they're being admitted? Why are we hearing of the tragic loss of loved ones as they die alone? Why are we having to stay inside for 12 weeks? My God, why have you forsaken us? Why? The reality we may not have the answer to right now. And when we ask the question of why, it can never compare to the why that Jesus asks. Because the truth is, the answer to our why can only be understood through Jesus. So here's why. Jesus is experiencing extreme suffering and abandonment in order to share our experiences of suffering and abandonment. So when we ask the difficult question, why have you forsaken me? Jesus can answer and identify with our human experiences. And it is this identification that brings us into togetherness with him. This means that in Jesus, we have someone who really understands everything we are going through. He knows what it feels like to be abandoned. Therefore, the answer to our feeling of abandonment lies in who we believe in. For when we believe in Jesus, we have the assurance that he is with us. Now, that doesn't mean that those feelings are invalid. Rather, it means that Jesus has promised us time and time again that he will never leave us. He has promised to be with us even until the end of the world. And at the end of the world, he will be with us into eternity. When we believe in Jesus, we have confidence that God is with us. And with this confidence, we have a peace that passes all human understanding. And with this peace, we have a hope that burns within our hearts. And this hope can get us through this present time, but it also will prepare us for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So I want to remind you this Easter that God is not socially distancing himself from you today. The truth is, he is closer than you can ever imagine. All you have to do is accept him as your personal savior from sin. Accept that when he hung upon the cross and went through the deepest form of abandonment from his father so that he can be close to you. All you have to do now is believe that he is right here with you today, tomorrow, and forever.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood, there is power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There is power in the blood, so much power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There is power in the blood, there is power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There is power in the blood, so much power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, dear Lord, for your Son who died on Calvary's cross for us. And Lord, as we have experienced him hanging there on the cross, oh God in heaven, I ask and I pray that we will recognize the costly price that was paid for our salvation. And dear Lord, as we rest tonight, I ask and I pray that we will take this experience with us, and that as we sleep, dear Father God, that your angels will hover over us, that your angels will hedge us in and protect us, and that when we wake up in the morning, dear Father, we'll wake up, dear Father, with a heart full of thanksgiving and praise because of who you are and for what you have done. Lord, we pray that we'll wake up with a song in our hearts, with you singing over us, dear Jesus, that we have the victory because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for each and every single one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, saints, rest well. God is on his throne and he's working out his plan of salvation for each and every single one of us. God bless. Good night.